Here at the Cattle Industry Conference, I'm speaking with Allie Devine, who's Vice President and General Counsel with the Kansas Livestock Association. She gave an update here at NCBA's Live Cattle Marketing Committee meeting on the GPSA rule and the Eastern Livestock bankruptcy and how it's really going to affect the industry down the road. First of all, let's start with GPSA, because right now it's kind of up in the air, right?
Exactly. We don't know the outcome yet. The good news is that it appears USDA is going to do a comprehensive economic analysis, which many, many people called for. Pleased that they seem to have gotten the message and are going to come back with an analysis. So that's a good news. Do we know when this thing's going to be final, when the reg will come out? The answer is no. We have no indication. They have 60,000 plus comments to review. Assuming they're doing a review of each of those, or let's say groups of those, that'll take a little while. And I'm glad they're not rushing through things. So the good news is, let's let them take the time. Let's hope they're paying attention to all the aspects and do the economic analysis that we all wanted done.
Now, are they under any kind of deadline? Do they have any time frame that they have to get this done by?
No. There was a proposal in the Farm Bill that called for the introduction of regulations before 2 years after the Farm Bill. Well, they met that requirement by introducing it. I don't think any of us expected it to be quite this big a deal, but it was. So I don't think they're under a real strict time frame, except for I think they're having a lot of pressure from both sides. Let's get some certainty in the industry.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Eastern Livestock bankruptcy case. First, explain what this is.
Well, the Eastern Livestock scenario, as many people know, Eastern was buying cattle all over the eastern part of the U.S. They were buying cattle in a variety of manners and under a variety of scenarios. The key is, it's not unique to Eastern. There have been many, many cattle dealers in the United States that have had problems. Most recently, there's four or five major cases. We call them the John Morkin case, the George Young case, GFI America case. There's cases that have happened. And what we did today was give an overview of kind of the things that we see start to go wrong that usually leads to a cattle dealer failing. And here, Eastern's no different than some of those prior cases. They were buying cattle as they can on their own account or for those of others. Where it gets complicated and where we see problems in prior cases is when an entity has related entities, where the owner may be a perfectly straightforward cattle dealer, but he all of a sudden starts doing business in another entity, another transaction. And they'll have a separate company, and they start moving money between those companies. They may not make payments, prompt payments to sellers. We'll see a number of extending things beyond the rules of credit. And what we talk about as attorneys is, okay, what happened when? And the whole bankruptcy proceeding is focused on what happened when. When did title to cattle pass? Who owned what when? And what liens attached at what point? And that's the complexity of what we're talking about.
Well, what kind of impact then is this going to have on, this is what we got a panel going on right now, on the future of trading feeder cattle?
I think what we're going to see is there will be a pressure. Obviously, I think the Congress will want to look at it. There were a lot of people hurt and in many, many states, and our hearts go out to those folks. We need to do what we can to avoid these in the future without disrupting or putting so onerous regulations on people that they can't meet their financial requirements. Some of the discussion in here today will be about increasing bonds. You know, if we just simply had more bonds, or if we could somehow create a pool where people could go and recapture their money, that may or may not work, because we don't want to give incentives for people to be fraudulent. So that's where we are today, is trying to kind of figure out, are there things we want to do and think through these. We don't want to go and just simply say, let's change this, let's change that, without really thinking through it.
Well, I mean, I guess the bottom line, in a situation like this, you have perfectly, you know, innocent feeder cattle sellers who got hurt, and through no fault of their own. There was no way they could really foresee this happening, right?
I think it was unlikely that they would have known. And in the scenarios that I've, in the people I've talked to, they may have had anywhere from 10 head to 25 head. They may have had thousands. They may have had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cattle. I don't know whether the audit practices of USDA would have disclosed everything. We know that USDA had some inkling that there was problems. Maybe they could have taken action sooner. I don't know. You know, and it's hard to second guess this until we get to the bottom of all the transactions. So I think the key is who was paid when and when did title transfer. And that's the parts that we're going to have to sort through. For those people who flat out sold cattle and did not get paid, they could still make claims against the bonds. The bond's going to be wholly inadequate. We know that. But at least it may have something in a return back to them.
Let's talk about the whole legislative climate in general as far as the cattle industry is concerned. GPSA goes through the way it is. It could be potentially a nightmare for any livestock producer out there. And this kind of situation, you know, it seems like more and more your average cattle producer has to be protecting himself or herself against litigation.
Yeah, here's the irony. We're at historic high cattle prices, and we're having some of the most major marketing issues that we've seen in years. Not traditional arguments or disagreements on who and how cattle should be marketed. We're talking about changing shifts. An interesting article earlier at the end of last year, there was an article that came out on the 10 factors affecting the cattle industry into the future. Every one of them was directly related to what I'd call true economic pieces, price of corn, small cattle herd, replacements, the whole thing was pure cattle, except for the GPSA reg, which is pure politics. So that was an interesting comment on kind of where we are. The Eastern scenario, it was, one person described it to me as they got too big too fast. Yes and no. You know, you can't, hindsight's a heck of a lot better than foresight, but I'm wondering whether we ought to talk about full disclosure of who they're buying for and when, and clearing transactions to make sure things follow through. I would tell any cattle producer today, there's nothing wrong with writing contracts. They're not hard. They can be, I so-and-so sell to so-and-so on this date for this amount, and here's the money. Making a contract's pretty easy. We need to do it because those give the details that are needed in these fallouts.
Well, when you talk about putting things in writing, this is really not something that cattle producers are known for. Traditionally, this is a handshake business. And how do you think they can make that transition?
You know, it is the handshake is the hallmark of the cattle industry. And attorneys are always marvel to me. Allie, how do they do this with no paper? And I respond to them, you got to understand the people. And from a pure policy standpoint, as an attorney, intellectually, I can tell you, we should have things in writing and do them in writing. But understanding the people we know and work with every day, for the vast majority of them, they're honest, hardworking, and their word is their honor. Unfortunately, we run across an occasion where that's not the case, or circumstances get beyond somebody's control. They may not have been intentional, but they get into financial situations where the financial pressure puts them to do things they would never want to do normally. So, yeah, it's tough, but it's one of the things we're going to have to understand. When we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, we need to put them in writing.
Well, that's a good place to end with some concrete advice for cattle producers out there. Thank you very much, Allie, here at the Cattle Industry Convention. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.